Pastor Brian wanted me to show you how to sleep while lying here. I tell him, our people are talented. They don't need to lie down to sleep. They can just sit where they are and sleep right then. I've seen some of you do that. How many of you came to church or first started going to church because someone had invited you to go with them? Who was it that invited you to the church? Who was the first person that asked you if you wanted to go to church with them? Can you remember? Can you recall the name or even the face of that individual? For the first 19 years of my life, I had not gone to church. I had not been invited to go to church, whether it be for a Sunday worship service like this, or for a fellowship gathering, or even for a small group event. I had no idea who God was. I had no idea that there was even a God. You see, no one had talked to me about God. No one had invited me to go to church with them until I was 19 years old. It wasn't until I moved away to Winnipeg from Vancouver to study architecture that someone first took the opportunity to invite me to go to church with them. The very first person was Auntie Teresa. She's the lady on the far left. She's actually the aunt of my sister-in-law, but she happens to live in Winnipeg. And when I went there to study, before I could move into my dorm room, she invited me to stay with them for a couple weeks. I could tell they were a religious family. They prayed before meals and all that. And so when they asked me to go to church with them, I felt obliged staying at a house to attend their church. And so I did for a couple of weeks. And then when school started, things got busy, and I stopped going. And when I was in architecture school, I met a few guys. Their name are Alan, Peter, and Jackson, who's not shown in this photo. They were wild and crazy guys. Truly, they were. Peter, on the far right, now he loved joking around and playing jokes on people. And Alan, if you believe, was actually a mayor of Victoria for 12 years, not too long ago. But these guys showed me what life could be like. They lived their lives not much different than me, going to school, working hard, staying up late. But they had something inside of them that I did not have. They had a joy, a peace, a real abundant life that I did not feel I had. And so when they started asking me to go to church with them, I didn't really hesitate because I already saw who they were. I saw the genuineness and realness to their faith. And so they invited me to church, worship service. They invited me to a fellowship group, very much like the Sojourners group here, the college fellowship group. And we did various things, Bible studies. We learned how to pray. We did silly things as well. We would go on sleigh rides. I don't know, those of you from the prairies. A sleigh ride is when you just cram as many people as you can to the back of a sleigh. You get the horses going. They're kind of galloping a bit. And then you do this thing where you actually push people off the sleigh. You push your friends off the sleigh, and then they try to run back to the sleigh, and it happened for like a whole hour. That's all you did. There's nothing else to do in Winnipeg in the wintertime. Actually, there is. We play hockey on the ice rink. frozen rinks. We play broomball on those rinks. And I really got to know some of these so-called churchgoers. And they revealed to me what it means to have faith in God, but still to be real and genuine, to be normal. And we did things like this. And I know, you may think this is silly, but you know how you youngsters, you college people, how you take pictures which represent your uniqueness? I think this was done at the SJ retreat 2 years ago, if I'm not mistaken. And then, you know, this last year, this is what you guys do, right? You kind of make all these funny gestures and poses and all that. Well, we did kind of the same thing, but maybe not as cool as you guys. We would kind of like sit on a chair, right? The first person sits on a chair, and everyone else sits on their laps. And so you can actually go in a whole circle, 20, 30 people in a circle sitting on each other and without falling. And we did this, I think, to portray what unity could look like, what it means to rely on one another, what it means to offer ourselves to others in support of them. And so we did silly things like that. But not only did we do that, we learned who the God of the Bible is. And for me, being someone who did not go to church the first 19 years of my life, it really helped me to understand more of who this God is. We did Bible studies. We prayed together. We support one another as we were in school. A couple of years later, I received Christ into my heart. And I got baptized at the stage of the Winnipeg Chinese Lions Church, and I gave my testimony to profess my faith in the Lord. And shortly after that, God placed a desire in my heart to share my faith with those closest to me. And at that time, God had placed in my heart to share my faith with my sister, who's on the far left there. She was someone who I felt God wanted me to pray for. And I would love to say and lay claim on the fact that I invited her to church, but I did not. You see, our God is an amazing God. You know, I was in Winnipeg, she was in Vancouver, and yet God still heard those prayers and answered them and allowed someone by the name of Wendy Shun, you know, who befriended my sister at UBC and invited her to go to church, to go to Night Street, to go to VCAC, to attend church with her. Our God is an amazing God. And not too long after that, my sister came to know Christ because someone invited her to church. And to make a long story short, 30 years later, my whole family came to know the Lord. One by one, someone invited them to go to church. And they found out who this God was. And it all started when I was invited to church. When someone prayed for me and invited me to go to church. The Bible says a whole family is saved in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Apostle Paul says in Romans 10, "For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all, and richly blesses all those who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news." Now, I didn't have a church background. My family did not attend church. We were not God-seeking people. And yet here in verses 14 and 15, it says that Paul describes the conditions that are necessary for people to call upon the Lord. That is, for salvation. And he does this in a series of rhetorical questions. By repeating the verb from the end of one question at the beginning of the next question, Paul outlines a chain of steps that needs to be followed if a person is to call on the Lord to be saved. Salvation is given to all who call on the Lord. But people cannot call on the Lord if they do not believe in him. They do not, they cannot believe in him if they do not hear the word. They cannot hear the word if it is not preached. And one cannot preach the word if someone is not sent. It says just a few verses down in Romans 10, 17, faith comes from hearing the message. And the message is heard through the word of Christ. So someone is sent, who then preaches so that others can hear, in order that they may believe and call on the Lord. Today, I just want to focus on one thing. I want to focus on sent, on the word sent, on being sent, or even of inviting someone to church. I first met Alice and Ronald at a church, at our church here over a year ago. She and her husband, Ronald, were invited to church by Anita and Paul Huang. And so I asked Anita to just share with me what kind of things took place as their relationship grew and as they got to know Alice and Ron. And this is what she said. She said, I've known Alice since our boys started grade 2 at St. George's. We would see each other at school functions and when the boys got together to play. Ronald and Paul went on several week-long school camping trips with the boys. Eventually, the boys drifted apart as their interests differed later in high school. Infrequently, the two families would still meet for dinner. And when now and then the subject of our faith would come up, but Alice and Ronald did not seem too interested at the time. I can't remember when, Anita wrote, but it was sometime after her diagnosis, that is, her diagnosis of having stage 4 terminal lung cancer, that Anita felt convicted. She wrote, I felt convicted by the Holy Spirit to ask Alice if she would like to come to church with us before having lunch afterwards. I was actually a bit surprised that Alice said yes without any convincing. She and Ronald have now been coming to church ever since. It also turned out, Anita wrote, that Alice and Yolanda had worked together in Hong Kong before she immigrated, and they had been good friends. Paul and I would go out for lunch with Alice and Ronald periodically after church when we would discuss different things about our faith, including why and when to get baptized. Alice had shared with me that she actually had a number of Christian friends who had asked and who she had talked to and had given her books about the Christian faith at one time or another. Anita wrote, I remember praying with her a few times after service for her health, for her belief, and for God's sovereignty to take place in her life. Alice was encouraged by some of the songs and some of the sermons that she heard. There was one time I asked her if she believed, and she said yes. With Yolanda's encouragement, she joined the Cornerstone small group where she and Ronald fitted in very well. We encouraged her to get baptized, and the rest is history. As you know, Alice got baptized about 9 months ago. Her coming to faith, it's entirely a testament of God's grace, God's mercy, God's perfect timing and provision in her life. It's the result of many different Christian friends, all being used by God to minister to her at different times in her life, in different ways, planting seeds, watering, and fertilizing at the right time. So this was Anita's account of how Alice not only came to church, but came to call on the name of the Lord. I believe that God had sent Anita and Paul and others to invite Alice and Ronald to church. And so when I asked Ronald just a couple days ago for his side of the story, he told me that Alice had said yes to attending church because she was trying to find a place that would give her peace. A peace of heart, a peace of mind in the extremely difficult circumstances that she was going through with her battle with cancer. But what she found was not only the peace of God, but also a community, a small group that cares and loves them deeply, Ronald said. And as a result of God's grace and God's peace in her life, according to Ronald, Alice had no worries. She was fearless of what was to come. You see, her faith and her belief had been secured in the God who is faithful, the God who keeps his promises, that he will never leave her or forsake her, and that she will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Each time I saw Alice, especially the last few months at church, I saw a soft glow of peace and joy in her spirit. That is very real. That is very evident. This is a person who just received Christ into her life a couple years ago. And yet, the Lord allowed her to go through what she had gone through. And even in her last days, I could see her faith was real. It was genuine. There was a peace and joy in there that could not be taken away from her. And as Alice was lying in a hospital bed, her desire was that Ronald would get baptized. Now, I had not realized that Ronald actually accepted Christ. Because when he went through Alpha, and he went through all the sessions of Alpha, and even on the last evening, I did not see Ronald put up his hand to receive Christ. And so I asked Ronald, "Ronald, is it true?" And he said, "Yes, it's true." And he's still nodding right now. He says, "Yes, it's true." And I said, "When?" And he said, "Shortly after Alpha, he had committed his life to Christ." I believe, Ronald, that it was because of your wife's faith that you saw the reality of God in her. And now you believe in God. When was the last time you shared, brothers and sisters, the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ with others? When was the last time you shared your testimony with another person? When was the last time you told someone what you did on Sunday when they asked you, "So, what'd you do over the weekend?" When was the last time you invited and asked someone to come to church with you? When was the last time you prayed for an unbelieving friend, an unbelieving family member or coworker? Dear brothers and sisters, let us make the most of every opportunity, because we never know what tomorrow brings. We saw earlier that research shows that 82% of the unchurched are likely to attend church if invited. 82% of people would consider going to church if someone was to invite them to go along with them. 82%. 8 out of 10 of your family members. 8 out of 10 of your friends. 8 out of 10 of your co-workers would consider going to church with you if only they were invited to come. The other staggering statistic that I saw in the video was that only 2% of church members invite an unchurched person to church each year. 2% of people actually invite someone to church each year. At the joint missions conference that Pastor Brian alluded to and that most of us pastors went, this was shown to us. 70 people per minute, 37 million people per year in the world die without Christ. So by the time this hour and 20-minute service is over, 6,000 people would have perished in our world without Christ. I'm praying that our congregation will be sent, because we are all called. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus didn't intend for us to either do one or the other. Jesus didn't say, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem or in all Judea or Samaria or to the ends of the earth. He didn't say that. He used and languages. He said, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Our outreach to community ministry, the O2C ministry of our church, focuses on our Jerusalem, on our neighbors, on our community, people who live close to us. The missions ministry department of our church focuses on the Judea and Samaria, people who live further away from us and may be quite different from us, different cities in our province. To the ends of the earth are people who live far from us, who are not at all like us. Now, these are three different spheres of emphasis in which we as believers are called to do, are called to be, are called to be in mission for. And so after our conference this past week, or even as the last meal was being eaten, people asked me what I enjoyed most about the joint missions conference that was held in Surrey this last week, in which all pastors from Chinese Lions churches and missionaries from our denomination came and met together for four days. What did you enjoy most about the JMC? Why? I definitely did enjoy all the great talks. I definitely did enjoy all the meals. We had 3 buffet meals each day for 4 days. That's why I untucked my shirt today. We had great workshops that challenged us. But I tell people what I enjoyed most about the Joint Missions Conference is the people. The people that I met. This is Paulo and Phoebe. They're a young couple, as you can see, with young children. And they've given themselves fully to the Lord's work. You may have heard Auntie Helen Lee talk about Paulo, because someone had invited Paulo to go to church in Guatemala, to go to the Guatemala Chinese Alliance Church. And that's where he received Christ into his heart. And as a result, he went to study seminary at Ambrose. And after that, they're now deployed to Spain, in which this young family will become lifetime missionaries. A young family, just starting out, giving themselves to the Lord's work, despite what friends or family members may be saying to them or about them or behind their backs. This is what encouraged me the most about JMC. This is Albert and Diane. They're a retired couple. They're in their 60s. In the workshop that I heard them speak on, they had given up and sold all their possessions. They used to own a house in Coquitlam. They sold that. They sold their two boats and their camper. They packed up all their things, which consisted of now only 6 large suitcases. And they've gone to China to serve the Lord full time, for as long as the Lord gives them the opportunity to do so. They could have easily lived out the sunset years of their lives, going fishing or golfing, boating, you know, whatever, looking after grandchildren. But they felt God's call to serve the Lord wholeheartedly without encumbrances. Brothers and sisters, this is what I left the conference with. People like Albert and Diane. People like Paulo and Phoebe. People like Ace and Cecilia. People like Ruth and Hans. This is actually what the Lord expects of all of us. We're all on mission for the Lord, whether it be overseas or just across the street, in our community, in our neighborhoods. When you go back to work tomorrow, God has called us to be on mission with the Holy Spirit, empowering us to be his witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. I heard this many times from different speakers. Like going on mission for God always calls us out of our comfort zone. Going on mission for God, whether it be overseas or even across the street to our neighbors, always takes us out of our comfort zone. I was so taken by this couple because, are you seeing the smile on Diane's face? She had this smile throughout the whole time I was with her and I saw her. She had this joy that could not be contained. In giving everything to God, there is a fullness of joy. In the presence of God, there is fullness of joy. And as the Father has sent them, Jesus sends us into our neighborhoods and communities and workplaces. The nations, as you know, are all around us. We just need to walk across the street. We just need to walk across the room. across to the next cubicle in our offices. We don't have to leave the country, although you may be called to do so, but we can do missions work every day right here in Vancouver, even as we invite someone to church. Again, many people said this, and I think Ruth was the one who I heard it from. She asked the question, is it comfortable? No. Is it convenient? No. But is it God's calling? Yes, it is. For each and every one of us. And I just want to end with this. Last week, we saw how the people of God entered the promised land, the land of Canaan. That was promised to the people of God just by obeying the Lord. And they defeated the city of Jericho by marching around the city. The mighty walls of Jericho fell because the Lord had said it would, and because the people of God obeyed him. It was because of their obedience and faith in the Lord that we are here today. Because they obeyed the Lord back then, we are here today. As we were blowing the ram's horn last week, it reminded me that our faith does not need to be too complicated. We just need to put our faith and trust in the one who is faithful. The obedience and faith of the people of God then is the reason that we're able to testify about our faith even now today. And as you have seen the many stories that I had just shared, even as we are obedient and faithful to the call of God upon our lives to share the gospel of others, to invite someone to come to church, it will definitely and miraculously affect their futures for eternity. Let's pray together, shall we? Oh, Lord Jesus, we are here today as your people because someone in the past was faithful to their call of either praying for us, speaking to us, witnessing to us, or just as simply as inviting us to come. And through that simple act of obedience and faith, O Lord Jesus, your Spirit had done an amazing work and is doing an amazing work in our lives, allowing us to know the depth of who you are, allowing us to be sons and daughters of the Most High, allowing us to know where our inheritance is, allowing us to be assured that we will spend the rest of our days in the house of the Lord. And so, Father, because of those promises and because of what you've done previously, let us as people today, as your people, Lord God, become people that you can use, that will affect others' eternity, that will cause others, O Lord Jesus, to know of the very grace and mercy and compassion of the Lord because of our trust and obedience and faith in you. So, Father, help us to see. I know it begins with seeing. It begins with you opening our eyes to the truth of not only who you are, but the truth of how you see people around us, of how you see and feel and are compassionate to those who are just maybe our next door neighbors. So, Father, we pray that we would not leave this place here today unmoved by your Spirit, Lord Jesus, take our hearts of stone. Give us a heart of flesh. Take our desires to be comfortable, to stay where we are at, to not extend ourselves, and change that, oh Lord Jesus, I pray. Into a heart that knows the very heart of our Lord Jesus Christ, a mission sending God. We dare to pray this prayer, Lord Jesus. That you would reveal someone to our hearts and our minds this week. And that you would give us the love and the compassion for them, Lord God, to truly love them as you love them. And that we would, by your courage, take hold of the opportunity to speak to them about who you are and to even possibly invite them to come into the house of the Lord. We dare to pray this prayer, Lord Jesus, because we know that this is your will. And when we pray in your will, O Lord Jesus, we know that your will be done. So Father, use us, we pray. Transform us, we pray. Take us away from our comfort zones, we pray. Give us a renewed vision for our days ahead in our lives. Whether we are students who are just wondering what you want us to do in our careers, or whether we are a young family who wants to make sure that our children are well cared for, and so we continue to amass things in our lives for this security. Whether it be us as being people of an elderly age who want to retire comfortably and who wants to retire, Lord Jesus, doing the things that would allow us, Lord Jesus, to enjoy life. Father, take these we surrender them at your altar today. Surrender our desires and our wants at the altar of the Lord, that we may hear your heart for people. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that we are saved because someone was faithful to come and to speak to us. We thank you, God. Change our hearts, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.